All right, Alexander, from the Daily Caller. This tweet says, CNN's at Dana Bash CNN to Adam Schiff about Portland and Kenosha. Quote, do you have any reason to believe that Russia is trying to fuel some of the civil unrest in some of these cities via social media or other methods? Guys, I will put that video link, that tweet with that video link of the CNN interview with Adam Schiff in the description box down below. We cannot play that video for you here because of certain copyright restrictions. We'll get dinged by YouTube if we do. But needless to say, Adam Schiff did go off on the fact that Russia and Trump are now the ones to blame for the months of riots that have plagued the city of Portland, Minnesota, Seattle, Wisconsin, Chicago, all of the riots that have been taking place have been the fault of Russia and Trump. Of course, all the peaceful protests, quote unquote, peaceful protests. Yeah. he likes to talk about our Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They're the peaceful protesters. All the violence has been caused by Russia and Trump. So once again, Schiff is invoking the ghost of Vladimir Putin and the fact that he is now pushing Trump to create all this violence in the U.S. Alexander, what do you make of this CNN interview with a very deranged Adam Schiff?
Well, I mean, it's completely deranged. I mean, the whole thing is absolutely nonsense. I mean, not just nonsense. I mean, it's just crazy nonsense. I mean, saying that the Russians have some part, kind of hand in all of this. How are the Russians going to arrange for, you know, riots, Antifa riots in Seattle and Portland? I mean, this is just... I mean, it's just so completely detached from any kind of reality that one just, it leaves you speechless. But, you know, let's not try and unpack it and try to understand it, because it's, when it's something as crazy as this, you can't understand it. What you can see, though, is the panic. And there is now, I think, a growing panic on the part of the Democrats. They spent weeks, months, of telling us that these were peaceful protests, that these were just protests against police brutality, even, you know, as American cities collapsed into violent crime, as the police were withdrawn from, you know, carrying out their work, and as rioting spread, and as, you know, fires and looting expanded, and as, you know, courthouses were attacked and statues were toppled, this was all supposedly peaceful. Now suddenly it's dawned on them, the penny, as we say in England, has finally dropped, that in fact the American people are not fooled by this, that they understand that the violence is real, and that the result is a consolidation of American society behind Donald Trump, who is now, according to some estimates, probably ahead in the election. And this has created panic. And so you see a wave of panic. And what do they do? Well, if you're Adam Schiff, they only have one tune. He's the absolute person who has no other tunes to play. You talk about Russia because that's the only thing you know what to talk about. So it's Donald Trump is to blame. Vladimir Putin is to blame. The specter of Russia stalks the land. They're out to create all these fires, all these rioting, all these, you know, vigilante groups. They control, presumably, the Antifa people. It seems bizarre to say it, but I mean, what other explanation can there be for this? They control all these vigilantes, these supposed vigilantes that are out there. They are behind it all. It's nothing to do with us. We are completely innocent. BLM, of course, is completely innocent. It must be Donald Trump and it must be the Russians. Now, I mean, you know, I cannot imagine that there is a single person, a single sentient human being in the United States now who's left believing that. I mean, those people in it who, you know, who had Antifa, you know, while they were trying, sitting in restaurants and being heckled by Antifa, you know, militants criticizing them for white privilege and all that, their white privilege. Do they think it was Russia? Do they think it was Donald Trump who was involved harassing them in that way? Of course not. So it's a sign of panic, of desperation and of also of the fact that the Democrats are now so digged into this that they don't really have any way out.
Yeah. Look, it's pure deflection and projection. Yeah. Whatever the Democrats accuse the opposition of, you know, that's what they're doing. Now, remember when, and I'm going to get to Biden actually in a bit, but remember when Trump was saying via a tweet, actually he tweeted it out, that Obama had wiretapped his hotel and everyone was laughing and making fun of him.
I remember
that was proven, right. That was proven correct. Absolutely. At the end of the day, Trump was right about that. Now, why am I bringing this up? Let me read you a title from Zero Hedge. Trump says plane loaded with thugs under investigation as he claims people in dark shadows control Biden. Let me read that again. Trump says plane loaded with thugs under investigation as he claims people in dark shadows control Biden. This is coming from Zero Hedge. President Trump did an interview with Laura Ingraham the other night, and he made some interesting claims, which reminded me very much of that wiretap, that Obama wiretap tweet that everyone once again made fun of, but was proven to be 100% true. Let me read you real quick, Alexander, what Trump said, and you can comment on that, and then we'll move to Biden. Speaking with Fox News' Laura Ingraham, Trump said that somebody got on a plane and traveled to the Republican National Convention last week, where groups of thugs were filmed harassing and chasing attendees following the event, including Senator Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, and his wife. Quote, "We had somebody get on a plane from a certain city this weekend, and in the plane, it was almost completely loaded with thugs wearing these dark uniforms, black uniforms with gear, and this and that," end quote, said Trump, who added that the matter is, quote, "under investigation," and that he couldn't discuss the matter further, telling Ingraham, "I'll tell you sometime," end quote. Quote, "There were like seven people on the plane, like this person, and then a lot of people were on the plane to do a big damage. Planning for Washington," interjected Ingraham. "Yeah, this was all happening," Trump replied. Leading into the exchange, Trump claimed that people in dark shadows, that's a quote, people in dark shadows control Joe Biden, and implied that they are responsible for the plane thugs. Now, I'm going to put a link to that interview as well in the description box. Once again, remember what he said about Obama. Remember how Trump expresses himself. And he may not mean that Joe Biden is being directly controlled by a puppet master who's sitting behind him, or people in the shadows sitting behind him, directly behind him, telling him to say this and that, even though it could be a possibility given Joe Biden, the candidate that we see in front of us every now and then broadcasting from his basement. But Trump is definitely hinting at the fact that there are political forces or oligarch forces or deep state forces that are pushing this violence onto the American public. And Joe Biden, whether he knows it or not, is fueling the flames of violence. What do you make of this?
Well, let me first, there's a lot to say here, but first of all, let me talk about that one, that famous tweet, at least famous to me tweet, that Trump made in March 2017, when he said that he'd found out that he's during the election campaign, his telephone had been wiretapped, and that this had been that there'd been surveillance. I wrote an article for the Duran at that time. I said that he was the president of the United States. I was sure what he was saying was true, because I was sure that as the president of the United States, he was in receiving information, and I didn't for a moment doubt that he was telling the truth about this. And then, of course, a day later, Obama came along and gave a long statement, which everybody wrote about as a denial, and said, you know, that Obama had denied that there was any actual wiretapping. And of course, I passed that statement very carefully. Again, you can find the article in the Duran, and I pointed out that in fact Obama's denial was not really a denial at all. It was in fact practically an admission. everybody ridiculed it. Trump was telling the truth. And I am sure that this story, this latest story, is very similar. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of this about planes and things of this kind, but I'm going to make a few quick observations. Firstly, Donald Trump, like with that other story about the wiretapping, is the president of the United States. He gets information that we do, you know, is not out there in general. I mean, if he says there is a plane full of provocateurs and agents, you know, when I say agents, I mean, you know, people who are thugs, he calls them. That's something which we should take very seriously because of the kind of access to information that he has. The second thing is, it's been obvious to me, and I've been saying this for a long time, in fact, we've been saying this many times on these programs, that these protests are both controlled and orchestrated to a very great extent. And the third thing I will say is that if you remember that incident, we talked about it a few days ago in another program with Rand Paul coming out of the Republican convention after he's given his speech and he's harassed. Harassment isn't actually almost too soft a word, you know, aggressively harassed by a whole group of people. And he himself, Rand Paul, said that he thought these were not people from Washington, that these were not local people, that they'd actually come into Washington to do this. In other words, that they'd been brought in. Well, that's just what Donald Trump has said. So there is some corroboration for this. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's conclusive, but one, it's the president of the United States who's saying it, so we should take it seriously. And secondly, a person, a very eminent person, a United States senator who was on the receiving end of harassment, before this statement of the president came out, he said, the senator said, that he thought that people were being brought into Washington and that this is how he was harassed. So I think all the facts point to the truth of this story. That's what I'm going to say. Now, who is responsible for this violence? Well, lots of people. I mean, there's a lot of this is straightforward criminal activity. I mean, whenever you get violent protests out, criminal elements latch onto them. They want to loot, they want to burn, they want to steal because they are criminals. So there's always that element. And remember, I mean, we've talked about incidents that have happened in various places. And sure enough, it's turned out in many instances that the people involved have had criminal records. So there's criminals. There's political there's political militants as well. There are, you know, the usual group of people, especially young people who are completely indoctrinated and obsessed with these things. But when thing is so organized and so visibly orchestrated, you cannot say, in fact, I'll turn a negative into a positive. You can definitely say that there is some degree of organization behind this and that there is some intention behind it too. This statue toppling, these violent incidents that have happened across the United States. Somebody is willing them. It's political, a political thing.
It always is.
And it's a political organization. And there is money behind it. Yeah. People don't suddenly simply turn up. And, you know, they got access to, you know, weapons and Molotov cocktails and bricks. I think there was even an incident we talked about where all these people turned up and suddenly, you know, all these bricks appeared. So, yeah, there is clearly some degree of organization. There is clearly some degree of money behind all of this. And this is happening in an election year. Donald Trump on the one hand, Joe Biden on the other. It's clearly directed at Donald Trump. So, objectively, it is being done in order to help Joe Biden. Now, Joe Biden, in this kind of situation, if you had two brain cells to rub together, ought to be repudiating all of this. He ought to be saying, I have absolutely nothing to do with any of this. I totally oppose it. I believe in the American system of law and justice and proper policing. And that's what I've always stood for. But he's not saying it. So objectively, just as it is support, just as it is supporting him, he objectively supports it. Now, that's a complicated and long answer, but, you know, there was a lot of things that you said in your question. I hope I've answered them clearly.
Well, I pretty much just read what Trump said to Laura Ingraham the other night. And I always preface it by saying you have to, when you read Trump's statements, you can't, you know, read them verbatim. I mean, you always have to parse Trump's words because he does speak it with a different sense of style. And when he says dark shadows, when he said wiretap, he says wiretap, but it means something else. But his point, he wants to get his point across. That's what makes Trump such a master marketer.
Well,
he uses words, and, you know, some people take them literally, but Trump is trying to get a message across. And at the end of the day, he will be proven right. So when he says dark shadows and thugs, he may not mean the kind of thugs that we have in our head when we think of a literal thug, even though they may be thugs.
Well,
he may be talking political operatives. He may be talking professional agitators. Yes. I've seen these people in Greece. I know what a professional agitator looks like.
So there are people
that get paid.
So have I. Absolutely. I mean,
Ukraine's an example of it. There are professional agitators in Ukraine.
People like that absolutely do exist, and they move from place to place and from country to country, and they absolutely exist, and they are a real danger. Now, about Donald Trump, I don't think his speeches need very much parsing. I find them very easy to understand, and I think by using this language, by speaking about thugs instead of, say, provocateurs, which is what some people might use, he cuts through. He speaks in a language that people in bars and, at workplaces and when they're having their coffee breaks, they can understand and relate to. And I think it is a major reason for his appeal. He talks a language that people understand. It is not the language of the political class in Washington. I spoke before, just on this program earlier, when we talked about the surveillance, Trump's comments about surveillance, about how Obama came up with this incredibly intricate legalistic response to what Trump said. That I had to pass. But when Trump speaks, actually, he talks very directly and very understandably for most people. And when he talks about a plane full of thugs and dark forces, they understand exactly what he means. And in relation to dark forces, who seriously supposes that Joe Biden is in charge either of the Democratic Party or indeed of anything? I don't. Of course he is, if not controlled, he is certainly being used, and at some level, he's being used willingly. He's willing to be used.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the perfect candidate for the oligarchs, the elitists, the deep state. He's the perfect candidate. Staying with Biden. Let's stay with Biden here, and wrap up this video. Actually, now, Biden actually got out of his basement. I think he went to North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. Someone can correct me in the video if I'm wrong. He went to North Carolina. I'll say North Carolina. And he gave us a speech. We haven't seen him out of his basement in, God knows, in months. So he gave this speech. It was highly scripted, teleprompter in front of him. I mean, he read, you could see Biden focusing, just reading exactly what he was told to read. He still mucked it up. I mean, he still started to talk about just nonsense, babbly, googly gook. I mean, it's incredible. He can't even read from a teleprompter. But his script writers, they can't contain themselves in dropping hints as to what they're up to. And this is what I think was the most important part of Biden's scripted speech, which to me, hints at everything. It hints at the whole plan. I mean, it's the complete tell. And let me go to Twitter and read that to you. The first tweet is from Mark Caputo, and he says, in excerpts of today's speech about bloodshed and demonstrations, Biden asks the 2020 equivalent of, are you better off today than 4 years ago with this question? And this is a direct quote from the speech. Does anyone believe there will be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected?
No.
That's what Biden said during his speech. Let me read it again. Does anyone believe there will be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected? Now, Alexander, Biden also sent this tweet on August 31st. This is from Joe Biden's Twitter account. Mm. Once again, does anyone believe there will be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected? Question mark. This is Biden, Biden's handlers, his speech writers, his dark shadows, basically telling America, vote for Biden. This is how I read it. Vote for Biden or else. Now, what does this tell you?
Well,
it's an incredible excerpt from a teleprompted scripted speech, Alexander.
Yes. Yes, I mean, it makes it sound like a protection racket, isn't it? You must vote for Joe Biden if you want peace and quiet, because if you vote for any other guy, well, you're going to have all kinds of trouble. I mean, it's an appalling, actually, speech. By the way, can I just say again, I mean, we're talking about language. Donald Trump speaks his own language. He talks directly to people. Joe Biden hides behind scripted speeches written for him by other people and teleprompters and all those sort of things. So that's a fundamental difference. Donald Trump is his own man. Joe Biden is not. So that already shows you an important difference between the two men. But this particular quote that you said is the single most disastrous and revealing quote in what I thought, by the way, altogether was a completely disastrous speech. I thought that instead of, you know, coming out like a president and saying, you know, I stand for the American people. I believe they're entitled to peace in their homes. I completely repudiate all of this that's been going on. And, you know, you have my absolute promise as president of the United States, if I'm elected, that I will bring this all to a complete end. What he does is he attacks Donald Trump, tries to make it sound as if Donald Trump is somehow the cause of all this violence, doesn't explain how Donald Trump is the cause of all this violence. And it was everybody in the United States knows that Donald Trump has not caused this violence. I mean, he did not create Chaz in Seattle. He did not topple statues in Portland. He did not have people, you know, he's in fact tried at every turn to try and calm things down, to send, you know, people to Portland to protect court buildings and things of that kind. So, but Biden is trying to blame Trump for something which Trump did not cause, but when the people who Biden says he supports and who say they support Biden have caused. And at the same time, he throws in this extraordinary comment, vote for me or else. I mean, it's a protection racket. It's one of the most menacing things I've ever heard. I mean, I think many people will be profoundly shocked by it. And I think that when Donald Trump talks about the dark forces that are controlling Biden, well, here's Joe Biden. He's given credence to that already, because this is the language of, you know, of Al Capone and Lucky Luciano and all those people. I mean, this is the kind of protection that Biden will give you. I mean, it's you know, vote for me or else.
It's the language of a party, of an oligarchy that has accepted the fact that under a free and fair election process, rooted in the Constitution, in the Electoral College, they will lose. Yes. And I think they're going all in, and they're just basically telling the American people. I think they're just putting it out there. They're yes. telling the American people, look, vote for Trump. If you vote for Trump, we're just going to tear the country apart. We know we're going to lose. So either way, we're either going to tear the country apart, win, we're going to tear the country, lose. But we know we're going to lose. And so we've put Biden in this position.
Yeah.
This is my theory, in this position as the candidate, because Biden is going to protect the Obamas, the Clintons, and this elitist class, because Trump can't really go after all the stuff that they've done. The elite, Biden is kind of sitting there blocking the DOJ and the Trump White House of really draining the swamp by going after these really big fish, because Trump can't really attack a presidential candidate. They can't really go after a presidential candidate. So, you know, he's kind of sitting there as this stopgap, and they're just saying, look, we're going to tear the U.S. apart. We're going to lose. We're going to tear it apart. But you're not going to be able to get the people that we're trying to protect, which is, you know, Messiah Obama and High Priestess Hillary and Bill and all these other guys. Well, that's how I'm trying to rationalize the choice of Biden now and where we're heading come November.
Well, you could also see these comments as a threat, basically, saying to Donald Trump and, you know, Durham and Barr and all these people, come after us, and there will be all hell to pay. I mean, this is one way of interpreting this. And certainly, you know, I think that's certainly what some of them are thinking. I mean, I have to say, I thought that it was a disastrously ill-judged comment, and a disastrously ill-judged speech. I think people who would be looking at this, and there are millions of people in America who follow the news, this idea that people in the United States don't follow what goes on in their own country is complete myth. That's my own view anyway. Well, I mean, I'm sure of it. So they will be following all of this, and they will say, but Joe Biden, he's not really there to stop the violence, to bring order and, you know, law and proper government, orderly government to our country. He's threatening worse. He's going to make things even worse for us. He is supporting the forces of chaos. He's trying to scare us into voting for him. He's trying to intimidate us into voting for him. And what that will do is it will make people want to do the opposite. They will want to vote against him for Donald Trump. It's a remarkably ill-judged comment. And it shows both the desperation, I think, because I think there is now growing desperation of the people who support him and of his inner group within the DNC, but also it shows their total nihilism and their willingness, as you correctly say, to bring everything smashing down in order to protect themselves and to stop Donald Trump. I mean, they're prepared to destroy everything, to bring down the temple, if you like, on their own heads in order to prevent them being brought to account for the things they have done and for Donald Trump to be elected. They've been behaving like this, essentially, ever since 2016, when they refused to accept the legitimacy of Trump's election victory. And now it's escalated to this point where they're actually threatening the American people and saying to them, if you vote for Donald Trump, there'll be all hell to pay, with the implication it'll be from us.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Maricuris, thank you very much, guys. Please subscribe to the channel. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe. Star, your donation really helps out this channel a whole lot, and we need your help. Also, please go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, enamel mugs, new T-shirts, new polo shirts, all kinds of good things. And Alexander, please, please go to Patriotic Legacy, pick up a Patriot Beacon 3. They're having a contest. Use Durant 20 If you use that code Duran20 at checkout, you'll get 20% off the Patriot Beacon 3 and anything else you purchase from Patriotic Legacy, and you're automatically entered into a contest to win a new Patriot Beacon 3 purple, as well as a magic mug with the USA flag on it. So you make a purchase from Patriotic Legacy, you get 20% off, and you get registered to win a Patriot Beacon 3 and a Duran magic mug. Hopefully you will win. We hope that whoever watches this video all the way to the end registers and wins that Patriot Beacon 3 purple. Alexander, real quick.
Yeah, here it is. This is the Patriot Beacon. It is what Americans call a flashlight. In Britain, we call it a torch. It's got this incredibly powerful beam. It's the best torch in the world. You can see incredible distances in the darkest places with it. You can actually dim it a little if you need to because you've got people nearby, or you can have it flashing if you want to alert people to the fact that you are there. I walk with it whenever I go out in the dark. I was on a walking holiday in the Peak District in England last week, and it was invaluable to be there. And if you get lost, you've also got a compass in the handle, which is incredibly useful. It's solar powered, so it never actually fades on you. You can be absolutely rely on it in all places. It's got a port, so if you need to recharge your smartphone or your tablet or perhaps your laptop, you can do it. It's also an incredibly useful tool. You need to break a windscreen, for example, because you see a car and people are in it and there's been an accident. You can do it very easily, very well with this hammer. And it's even got a seatbelt cutter, so you can get people out fast. But what is really amazing about this flashlight, Patriot Beacon, is how well made it is. It is the most rugged, the strongest, the most beautiful, by the way. It's got this extraordinary, strong, purposeful look to it, which is really gives you this tremendous confidence when you have it and carry it. It's this amazing item made in the United States. It ships all over the world, so wherever you are, you can participate in this competition. This one is black. You can get it now in purple. It's the Swiss Army knife of flashlights, as Alex said. It's made by our friends, Patriotic Legacy, and it's the Patriot Beacon 3. And it comes with a mug, which is this mug, a Duran mug, with a flag of the United States. So you can't possibly not participate in this competition. You get your Patriot Beacon, you get your Duran mug with the flag of the United States. There's lots of other mugs like that. You can see this is one of Greece, smaller mug there. We've also got enameled mugs. This is one of Germany. And they're incredibly useful, by the way, when you're on walking holidays, because enamel mugs are the perfect things for that. And you can also find amazing shirts. And Alex is expanding the range of shirts with new embroidered shirts. And we've got amazing hats. We've got our trucker's hats and baseball caps and embroidered hats. And we've got amazing videos too. So you can find all of these things in our shop. You can support us by coming to our shop. And you must never forget to get yourself the Patriot Beacon 3, the absolute best flashlight in the world, made in the United States by our friends at Patriotic Legacy. Alex will remind you how.
You'll find the link to the Patriotic Legacy website in the description box down below. And you will also find the link to the Duran shop as well in the description box down below. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.